Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bradford Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hits Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradford Show.
That's delicious.
Making a second appearance on the Bradford Show, one for one. He's been invited back, Matt Barnes. You're a little less nervous this time around, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of expectations the first time.
Yeah. Well, you said, I remember you saying you went on a run, you were good for a week. So if you're good for a week, then you get on the show and you're like, don't jinx me. But you were good for a week and you didn't stop being good. So there you go. You know that you can do this podcast.
It's not your show. Your podcast. It's not a show. It's a podcast.
Yes.
Right. It's not your podcast. Nope.
It's not
it
that.
Actually, no, it probably helps.
It helps. It actually helped. The only person it didn't ever help was when I did with Brock Holt.
Uh-huh.
And he basically, the minute that I published the podcast, the actual moment that I published the podcast, he pulled up lame with a hamstring injury.
So he's not coming back?
No, he said he's not coming back.
That's fair.
All right, so since we did the last podcast, which was probably in the first week of the season last year in Tampa, you got married. Congratulations.
I did. Thank you very much. Yep.
Tell me about your honeymoon. Not everything, but just tell me about your honeymoon.
It was fun. We went to Jamaica. We did the Sandals Resorts down in White House. So it was awesome. We stayed in the water bungalows. Hung out on the beach. We were there for 4 days, so we didn't stay terribly long, but it was amazing. It really was.
Did you? When I went to my honeymoon in sandals, I did sandals in St. Lucia, okay. And you meet like the other couple, so you hang out with. Do you do that or?
No, we stayed by ourselves the whole time.
Okay, all right, good for you.
We kind of did our own thing.
When you have a wedding.
Yep.
What's the cutoff? It might get a little dicey because you have teammates, but was anyone here pissed that you get invited to your wedding?
I invited the whole team, so I just made it easy.
Yeah.
I invited everybody, and then whoever was going to come, and if they couldn't, they couldn't.
Did you give anybody crap for not coming?
No. No, I mean, I get it. We were in Florida, and it was right before winter weekend, so I mean, it would have been a lot of going here and then going there and traveling and stuff for guys, and so no, I get it.
Who was the most surprising person that went, that you said, oh man, I invited them but I didn't think they would go?
I don't know if anybody
really.
No, I don't think so. No, five guys in the team came.
Who?
Sale, DP, Jackie.
That's David Price.
Yeah,
it's two DP. Dustin Pedroia is also his initials.
He's PD.
Yes.
Heater, which is Heath Embry, and Vasquez, which is Christian Vasquez.
I like how when you bend in to, let, bend it, yeah. Yeah, to make this perfectly clear, that it's Christian Vasquez and Heath Embry.
Yes.
All right, well, congratulations. Good stuff. So tell me why you could be a closer in the Major League Baseball.
Well, you're jumping right into the
heart. I softened you up with the wedding question. And I want this is about honest.
I think next time I'm going to ask for a sheet of questions so I can prepare.
Why? Yeah. By the way, going back to last time you were on the podcast, we were the first maybe ever to break down something that should be broken down a whole lot more, which is the pitchers, the relief pitchers' gates, gait in terms of how they run in from. And I'm sure that every time you actually ran in from the bullpen, it was in your head, right?
It was make sure it's a good jog.
Right. So you paid a lot more attention to how people run
in. You have to try and look athletic.
Yes, that's what we came to.
As best you can.
Well, we said like Kimbrel. Kimbrel is like, chest out.
Right.
It's like that's a run in.
Right. Some guys just kind of meander, and some guys take the cart now, so there really is no run.
Well, we talked about that. That was the reason we talked about it, because the cart thing was all new. Right. And did anyone take the cart? Or?
Yeah. Did Brazier take it in Detroit, maybe? I think Brazier might have taken it in Detroit.
Well, why?
Because we made him.
Well, we'll get to that with him when he comes down to Twin Peaks for his Twin Peaks podcast.
Okay.
So nobody else? That seems like...
I don't know if anybody else took it. I don't.
Okay. All right. We're procrastinating. So why? Tell me why you could be a closer in the Major League Baseball.
This is like, I tell
my daughter. My daughter's a senior in college. She's going for job interviews, right? I say, be confident.
Right.
Like, be confident and don't be cocky, but be confident and sell yourself. Right. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I just, over the last few years, I've learned a lot about the league and about myself and how to best utilize my stuff. Mm-hmm. I've continued to improve every year. I mean, there's definitely...
That's true. That's a fact.
Yep, there's definitely room to continue to improve. But I don't know. I feel comfortable in a late-inning role. I've done it quite a bit over the last few years. I have no idea what my role is going to be, but if it is the ninth inning, I feel comfortable and confident with it.
So Cora had cited the other day, like, all these stats. So you go look up Matt Barnes, the guys with the OPS against him, it was amongst the highest. He's basically insinuating that the way that they used you last year was almost like a closer. Like, I don't know if they showed you that. Did they show you that? Did they say, hey, do you realize what you did last year in terms of the guys you were going against?
He gave me a sheet the other day with both numbers, but...
He did?
Yeah.
Like with the who you went, the players you went against?
No, it was just Craig and I.
Oh, comparing? What, yeah. like OPS against and stuff
yeah,
like
it
that?
Yeah, it was just showing our numbers side by side just on that statistic. It wasn't anything else.
No,
it was high leverage innings pitched.
Like, how so? You have to describe this piece of paper more for me.
It was just... Craig and I next to each other, and it just had the situations in the games in which we pitched. So whether it was down by three, down by two, down by one, all the way to up by three. And it just showed how many times you had pitched in those scenarios. And I think it showed the OPS of all of your appearances or something along those lines.
How many times have you pitched in the ninth inning?
I have no idea. I didn't memorize it.
What? Okay. Well, I don't know. I can look that up. That's the miracles of modern technology.
Yeah.
But do you subscribe, even though you don't know how many times you pitch in the ninth inning, do you subscribe to the whole thing of that ninth inning is different than the seventh inning and the eighth inning?
Yes.
You do? Tell me why.
I don't know. It just is. It's the last three outs of the game. I don't know why it's different.
But why do you feel that way? There must be a reason, whether it's, it feels different, the hitters approach me different. I don't know. Why do you feel that way?
I don't know.
Because you've seen what Craig did?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why it's different.
I don't disagree with you, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know why it's different. Maybe it's because it's the last chance. It's like...
I think hitters approach it different personally.
I could see that. I can see them approaching it
a little more, a little tighter, a little like this game is on the line.
Right.
That's what Billy Wagner told me one time.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Guys, like, it's our last shot.
Yeah.
It's our last shot, and if we don't, the game's over.
So, how do you, did you ever think that you would be, like, okay, let's say for the sake of this, in a conversation and be a closer, like, 5 years ago?
I don't know if I've ever thought about what role I would be, and I've always just thought about it either a starter or a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you started relieving, I mean, starting relieving, I remember talking about it. You have to get used to just the act of relieving.
Right. I always thought that I could be a closer, but in Boston, the line of closers, you know, when I first got up here, it was Koji. And Koji's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Koji left, we signed Craig, and Craig's a Hall of Famer if he never plays again.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much you can actually think. And they're, you know, and Craig is still young. I mean, he's 30.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're pitching behind those guys and those guys have the ninth, I don't know how much you can actually say, oh, I'm going to be a closer here. Because you're two guys who have been there had the ninth and they locked it down. So I don't know how much you can actually say, oh, well, I'm going to be a closer. I mean, I always thought that I could be. Or I thought that I had the stuff to be a closer. But in terms of actually saying I'm going to be, I don't know if I did.
When did you actually start thinking I have the stuff to be a closer? I mean, obviously you could always throw hard, you had a curveball, but when did you feel like...
The last couple of years, probably in 17.
Yeah.
17 and then into last year.
What did you learn from watching Craig? Because you must have learned something too. I mean,
yeah, it's the way he goes about his business. I was talking to somebody the other day, and
was it a reporter?
Yes.
Ah, then this is old news. But go ahead.
It is old news.
All right, go ahead.
I'll tell you something else I learned.
Okay.
From him. You can write something else.
All right. Okay.
So one of the things that Craig does after every outing he throws is he runs. He'll run after every outing. He'll go up on the treadmill and run a mile at whatever 6.5 miles an hour. And I never ran after outings. I never did it until last year. Our offense was putting up 48 runs a game for the first month of the season, so I wasn't pitching a ton. And then when I did pitch, I felt like I kind of had jello legs because they weren't in pitching shape because I wasn't throwing that much. So I was like, the only way that I thought I could maintain the stamina in my legs was to start running, or running more than what we were doing out here, going for a longer distance run. So I started running after every time that I pitched, and I would go up and I would run the mile, and he would work out after games because he never wanted to be tired prior to a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I started adopting that as well. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to work out and then go out, and then maybe 5 hours later, and then, like, even if my legs are a little bit fatigued from that, then you're either A, compromising your workout because you don't want to be fatigued, or you're compromising, or could be compromising, your performance because you are fatigued because you pushed it hard in the weight room. So I started working out after games. That way I gave myself the full night to recover going into the next day.
You're like when you talk working out, so you go run a mile and then you like bench and squat or whatever you do.
Yeah, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, max out on your bench.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, watch this, Craig. I'm going to push up 350.
No, I'm not.
I know. But that makes sense. So that's one of the things you learned from him. It was
the way he went about his business and his work ethic and how everything that he did, there was a rhyme and a reason. It was nothing he ever did was just because. There was a rhyme and a reason to everything that he did.
How about as the actual art of closing? Was there anything? I mean, because that falls under sort of just being a relief pitcher, right? Well, how about the actual art of closing down a game?
Art of closing a game.
Oh, was there, by the way, was there something else you were going to tell me that was going to advance the story so that I look better than whoever wrote this?
No, the other thing I learned from him was the way he played the game of catch.
Okay. So, what?
The way he played a game of catch.
How?
Well, this is what I told somebody the other day, so.
So the running you didn't tell somebody the other day. But the game of, tell me the game of catch too, because I don't read anything.
So the first time I ever played catch with Craig was in Montreal in our exhibition games in 2016. And we were sitting there, and the way that he played his game of catch, everything was so meticulous. He knew everything that was going on, and there was a purpose to every throw. I never had taken the game of catch overly serious. It was just, all right, let's get the body loose and whatever. But then I thought to myself, I was like, man, if this guy's the best closer on the planet, and he pays attention to his game of catch that seriously and that meticulously, then I'm a fool for not doing the same thing. So I started to really pay attention to that more and really focus more on when I'm playing catch. Not only to make sure that I'm doing things the right way, but it allows me to cut down the number of throws that I make in a game of catch. So if I go out there and I make 25 throws and I'm loose and everything feels good, I'm done. And if you can cut out 5 to 10 throws a day for 162 games, that's a lot of throws that you saved with your arm. And especially when you're playing deep into the postseason, those bullets count when it comes to September, October.
That's a good one. I like the other one better, so thanks for giving that exclusively to the Bradfoe Show. Ninth inning, so what did I mean closing? in terms of, okay, we have the game of catch, we have the working out. Those are both relief pitching things, pitcher things.
Right.
But actually, like, the way that he handled closing out a game. Like, for instance, like, I remember, like, talking to Ryan about, like, he doesn't necessarily want to know where when he's pitching, right? So he's sort of, Ryan Brazier, that is, doesn't like, I remember Papelbon. Papelbon, it was like, okay, I'm going to do this in the fifth, this in the sixth, this in the seventh, this in the eighth.
Right.
Is there something you learned from Craig along those lines of, like, how to lead into closing out a game?
I mean, it's, I'm going to prepare the same way, whether it's the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a routine that I go through in terms of studying hitters that are potentially coming up and getting my body loose. I mean, his mentality about closing the game, I mean, it was just, it was his, and when he went in, the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his mentality with everything. I mean, it's, we always joke, man, it's hard to do things the way that he does them on the mound, because he does 100 miles an hour and the ball rises, and he throws an 88 mile an hour breaking ball. His stuff is just so electric that it's hard to emulate what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's one of like two people in the world that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to try and pick out how he attacks hitters or how he goes about it that way. You can only kind of look at a mentality standpoint or the way that he works to lead up to that, because you can't emulate 100 that rises from down here, from a lower arm slot, that is, because we're not
right
on the camera. I'm trying to, but
yes, I can. You painted the picture with the, with your words. Yes.
Thank you. You can't repeat what he does. It's just, that's who he is. So it's hard to take how he attacked hitters in that sense. It's more of a mentality.
But does that mentality, like you said, we all, you and you grow up, we watched closers, like you said, it was Koji, you know, before that, Papelbon, and you have all kinds of closers, and Craig was sort of the same, that same image of, you know, here comes the scoreboard with the fire on it, and
right,
the song, and the, you know, psych
right
yourself up, and you can say it's the same thing, but when you're a closer.
Right. It's got a certain
cachet.
Yeah, or a certain stigma with it.
Yeah. Oh, stigma. Stigma is like, you don't suggest that you don't think that you necessarily need the fire on the scoreboard. You can just be yourself.
No. You don't need the fire on the scoreboard. It's cool. It's really cool. And they light the matches and you got the music and you're like, wow, this is awesome. No, there's a certain, I don't know what the word is.
No,
there's a certain characteristic when you look at them and you're like, that's it.
Who was your guy growing up? Whether you like, I mean, you grew up in probably Mariano, right?
Honestly, the guy that I loved watching was Jabba Chamberlain. I loved watching him. When he first came up, his rookie year was lights out.
But he wasn't the closer.
No. But he was 100 with a hammer.
Yeah.
And his energy on the mound is incredible. I loved watching Jabba Chamberlain pitch when he came up with the Yankees.
Until the Bugs got him in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's there you go. But again, not a closer, but still his mentality of when he gets to the mound. And
yeah,
I remember that. I remember Jabba.
Yeah. It was the same thing.
It was tight with him with Clay Buchholz for
really?
Some reason. Oh, yeah. It was weird. It was a weird,
yeah. He had like a .6 that year. It was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was disgusting.
So will you have the Flames on the scoreboard if presented? Or are you going to change your... What's your entry song?
This year?
What was it last year?
Last year was Every Day by Eric Prydz.
Why?
Because I love that song.
Just because you like the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I like that Bradley Cooper song that I've got in my head from Fort Myers Station down here all the time. But I wouldn't have it as my intro song.
Bradley Cooper? He's an actor.
He's a singer, too. Lady Gaga.
Oh, that? Oh, you're talking about the song from the movie.
Yeah.
A Star is Born.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But I'm not having that as my intro music.
Well,
I like the song.
Also, yeah, but it's also going to be a song that fires you up.
Right. So that song you had
fired
you up. Are you changing it up?
Yes.
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Of course.
Nope.
Why? You know what it is?
I know exactly what song it is.
Okay. Is it...
Or maybe I'll give you the... Do you want the exclusive?
Yes.
You want the exclusive?
Yeah,
huh?
Do it right here.
I'm going to walk out to Wow by Tiesto.
Sing it.
I can't.
Hum it.
No.
Why? Pulling up my phone and you can play.
Well,
it
no, no. We'll drop it. We'll drop it in. I can do that. Although I might have some legal ramifications if I do. What? Why?
I love techno music and EDM music, and that's what I listen to. And that song fires me up. All
right. So why didn't you have it last year? Did it exist last year?
It's a newer song.
Oh.
It's a newer song.
All right.
And when a walkout's working and things are going well, you don't change it.
No, I hear you.
You know?
Well, things went well last year.
Yeah, right, but it's a new year.
Right, okay. What was the most nervous you were last year? So here's the thing. This is where I'm going to praise you.
Most nervous.
I'm going to praise you.
Yeah.
I've said this. That game at Yankee Stadium, which you pitched in, the last game at Yankee Stadium.
The clinching game?
Yes, the clinching game was a Brazier and you.
Yeah.
Who pitched it?
Brazier to the eighth.
Oh, he did?
I threw the seventh.
You set. Oh, yeah. You, Brazier, then Sale.
Oh,
then
no,
Kimbrel.
Sorry. Brazier. That's right. Sale threw the eighth.
Yes.
Craig threw the ninth. I threw the seventh. Brazier threw the sixth.
Yes. Yeah. So I was right the first time.
Yes, you were.
But I've never been like. In a stadium where it felt like that the stands were sort of closing in, and you know, like even in the seventh inning when you pitched, then it was like because the fans were sort of out of it, they'd been blown out, but then they're like, okay, desperation, and you know, that's why I told Nunez. I mean, like that play that he made was insane. It was like in the stretch that Pierce made. Like if they don't make that play,
who knows?
A big who knows.
Right.
Like an enormous who knows, because they probably win that game. Then who knows?
Right.
But, so if my point is that if you were ever going to feel nervous, besides just being on this podcast, if you're ever gonna feel nervous, that would have been the game that I would have felt nervous in. But you handled it.
Yeah, but Yankee Stadium's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
It is. It's a tough place to play. It gets loud there.
That was the loudest though I'd ever seen.
It gets loud there. It does. But you gotta. I mean, I was so locked in on what I was trying to do. I couldn't look at who was in the box because it was the big boys. I mean, it was Judge, Stanton, and Didi. I mean, that's the heart of their lineup. Those guys. I mean, those
so
guys.
So you said you couldn't look like so.
No, I got my pitch. I'm trying to execute my pitch.
And you're trying to basically like. Make your vision so the whatever it is, the left side, the right side
right,
of the plate.
Right, even more so than normal. And I'm so locked in. And I'm locked in on the eight guys behind me and the other, whatever, 30 guys in the dugout. And what, who started that game? Poor started that game, right?
Yeah.
Poor started that game. And what Poor's had done. And just how those guys are grinding their ass off and busting their ass. And I'm... Sure, shit ain't gonna be me who's gonna give it up. I ain't gonna do it.
And so you're basically, when you went in, like you said, more so than maybe ever in your life, you said you didn't look at who was in the batter's box.
And I knew that Sale was in the bullpen. I knew Sale was in the bullpen, and I knew we had Craig in the bullpen. It's my job to get to the ball to the next guy. And I didn't know what order they were throwing in, but when you have Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrel in the bullpen, does it matter what order they throw in?
No. Well... You're not looking at the actual hitters, but you have to. Are you relying on who's catching?
I
you know who's up, but you're not looking at them when you're throwing the pitch.
Right. Okay. I know who's in the box, and I know that I need to execute these pitches. And I know that I need to get the ball to the next guy. My job is to get the ball to the eighth inning, get it to the next guy. That is my job, and that is our philosophy: get the ball to the next guy.
Is that the most locked in you've ever been in appearance?
The whole postseason. I mean, earlier in the series, I had Stanton at the plate with bases loaded and one out at Fenway.
And you did the same thing.
It's the same thing, man. It's the whole postseason. You have to do like that.
Especially when the guy standing in the box is 6'7".
And the reigning MVP.
Yes. Yep. So.
Yeah. You better make pitches. You make pitches or you don't.
Do you ever, I mean, is that something when you just do when you get in that situation? Or is it like you guys like, okay, guys, don't look at the hitter. This is what you want to do. Or,
I mean, well, the one at Fenway, I was like, well, man, you know what? And I had just walked Gardner to get to Stanton. I think that's right. Yeah, I think I just walked Gardner to get to Stanton. And I was like, you know what? I was like, man, you better make some pitches quick.
Mm-hmm.
You better start making some pitches quick. Otherwise, yeah. It's going to get ugly.
And you did.
And you just, you tunnel vision it. You have to.
But my point is that, yeah, you tunnel vision, but you, is this something, it seems like you did that more in those cases than you ever had.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. And that's just comes from, like, you don't know you're going to do that until you're actually there.
No, I did it in the bullpen. It starts.
You did?
It starts in the pen.
Okay.
It starts in the
pen. But is that you, or is that sort of like...
No, that's me.
Saying, okay, you know,
yeah.
I know that I have to, it's I have
go,
to do
right,
that.
It's go time.
I mean, that must have been, not to get all, like, sappy or whatever, but that must have been a great learning experience for if you do end up closing. Like, that's the... That would be seemingly be a good approach to have every time.
No question. No question. And I think I told somebody this. It's,
well, then forget it. If you already told someone that, it doesn't be...
But in those situations, I can't imagine that if I'm in a save situation, if I am throwing in the ninth or whoever, I can't imagine that a save situation in April or May is going to be as tense or as stressful as... that situation against the Yankees, or second and third against Houston in a one-run game in the seventh with two outs, you know, where a hit changes the scope of the game drastically and even potentially a series then. I can't imagine that it's as stressful or as high leverage
well, it's not
as that.
Be.
But that's my point. So then I can use that.
But that's the challenge.
You use that to, and it's harder to emulate that situation.
Right, because if you're in,
it's easy to get
Baltimore.
It's easy to get up for the World Series in the
right.
ALCS.
If you're in Baltimore with three fans in the stands,
right,
and you know it's not the same.
Right, but that's when you can look back on that situation and be like, okay, get there.
Right,
because now you know what that is. Right, once you've established what that locked in is, and that mental. Scope or that mental perspective.
Yeah.
Once you've established to yourself what that is, it's easier to get back to it.
When did you realize that?
Getting to it in the first place is hard.
Yeah. Sounds like the postseason was a pretty good learning experience for you.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, you're playing in the highest stage in the world against the best teams in the planet. If you're not locked in, you're in trouble.
But you can say that, but you never know until you get there.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
That's why, you know, that, and that's why when, you know, the whole thing about, oh, is the bullpen going to do it? Do they have enough in the bullpen? Because you don't know. I mean, you don't know. All you have to go by is a regular season. All we had to go by was a regular season when we're, like, trying to predict things and everything
right.
else. But it sounds like you guys sort of, and you also were sort of like, nah, we know. Sort of what we're made of and
right.
what we need to do.
Right. I think the regular season, we threw, as a whole, the bullpen threw really well for probably 85% of the year.
Mm. I remember you said on the radio that it was the best bullpen in baseball. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were in the postseason.
Right. So you were correct.
So
congratulations.
So at the most crucial time of the season, we were the best.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. But... it looked worse in the regular season because everybody went through a slump at the same time, right? Everybody went through a slump for that couple of week stretch.
When was that?
August.
Yeah.
Which made it seem worse. But for the majority of the year, everybody had thrown really well.
Yeah. Well, you peaked at the right time, right?
Right, we were just getting ready for the postseason.
Joe Kelly made a lot of money at the right, you know, he pitched at the right.
What he did in the postseason was incredible.
Right, exactly.
It was unbelievable.
Right, but it's. I think he's a good example of what you're talking about, which is you make adjustments, you learn what you have to learn,
right.
and then you make adjustments, and then you release the hounds.
Right.
So, there you go. All right. How's spring training going?
It's going good. We're having fun. Yeah.
That's super.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're having fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going good. I mean, body feels great. You never really know how the body's going to come in after playing an extra month. But they did the medical staff and coaching staff, strength staff has done a phenomenal job of making sure that we had the appropriate rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're tapered back now in spring training. to give us, you know, enough rest and get our bodies into the right position.
Did you ever hit 100?
Have I ever?
No, did you? I remember it was a goal.
Last year?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think I did last year. I think 99.
So you still haven't hit 100?
No, I did.
When?
16. I hit it probably 5 or 6 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hit it before. Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I know you got to get going. So last question. Do you have any questions for me? This is how I end all these podcasts. It's my trademark.
What is one goal for you to accomplish during this season?
Well, last year that was easy. That was an easy one. Lose 50 pounds.
You look great.
I ran 17 miles yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I ran the marathon.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You do. You look good.
Well, thanks, man. I reached full muscle capacity. All I can do is maintain now. I can't get any stronger. It's amazing.
You can always get stronger.
Nah, I reached full muscle capacity.
Okay.
What do I want to do this year?
Yep.
And
I'm going to hold you to it at the end of the season.
I want this podcast to be the greatest podcast of all time.
Of all time.
Of all baseball. Greatest baseball podcast of all time. I want to grow.
Okay, so how do you measure that?
Well, you can measure it on iTunes and numbers and everything else.
Okay, so you want to hit subscribers or listeners.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, which isn't going to happen. I just want it to grow. I want this to grow.
So set a tangible.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yeah. I will get those numbers to you.
Okay.
I will deliver the sheet much like Alex Cora delivered the sheet to you.
Okay, so it says you want to double. You want to double the number of listeners that you currently have.
Yes, that's a good one.
So you want to double...
Here's the problem, though. Yep. Here's the problem is that, so we're sitting here, and I don't know what it is, like over 20 minutes, okay? Yep. Like, so I'm around you guys. It's fine. You guys are usually pretty accommodating with your time. But when you get in the season, when you ask somebody to do a podcast, like, it's hard. It's hard to, like, hey, can you spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes doing this podcast? And that usually those are the best ones where we're just like right now we're at spring training, we're just sitting around talking,
right.
But you couldn't do this during the season
except we did,
yeah, but it was it's
except,
a rare but that one was like
except,
I'll go but look, that was 19 minutes, that was like even then that was, and I appreciate that was above and beyond in terms of what usually the time
is. I'll give you one or two. I'll promise you one or two during this.
I appreciate that, but this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that anyone's an asshole for not doing it.
I know.
But it's the time is a challenge. Yep. Like Mookie does one a year, usually in July, and it's great. It's like 30 minutes. We sit in the dugout, and it's always fantastic. But I understand. It's like you can only do that once in a while. Like I did one with Craig.
Yeah.
It was like 13 minutes. You know, it's like it was hard, and it wasn't a jerk, but I'm like,
right.
It's, you know, he's running around and stuff like that. So my point is that do you listen to podcasts at all?
Sometimes, not a ton.
So what's the sweet spot in terms of the length of a podcast that you're listening to? And when do you usually listen to, if you do listen?
I really don't listen to it.
Okay, that's fine. But usually,
probably right around the 15-minute mark.
No,
honestly,
no.
20 minutes.
Like 30, yeah, well, let's say.
But
between,
I have a shorter attention span.
That's fair, but so there's two different kinds. Like I could just sit around, like, and I can sit around with some writers, and we can just talk, right?
Right.
Or I could do players and get actually like insight. We're talking about it now. That's a different sort of one.
Right.
Or you know, there's different ways to do it.
Uh huh.
I'm trying to find that sweet spot. I'm trying to find. What would the thing? What would be the podcast that would interest you more, the most? Like, as someone who barely listens to podcasts,
what would?
Like, would it be something along an entire podcast on relief pitchers running in from the bullpen?
Probably not, because I think you can only talk about that so much.
That's what I feel like. Yeah.
You can only talk about that so much.
It would be. It would be something like maybe. I don't know. I mean.
Oh, you're talking about just the baseball? Because like I wouldn't listen to a baseball podcast, and that's just because I'm in the game so much.
If you were going to conduct this podcast, how would you do it? That would be of most interest to you. Would you just talk about like planning weddings? Would you just talk about?
I think there's a certain aspect of the game that you talk about the game and what's going on with the team, but I think there's a lot of it that people want to know the players, like, who they are.
Right.
Like, who are you?
Yes.
Right? I mean, you can sit here and we can talk for, you know, hours about the season and guys and the team and stuff like that. But, like, who are you? You know? I think it gives people, and it makes it more personal. Who are you as a person? And it kind of gives you a little bit into...
Do you think players want... Like, so if I go, say, to players and say, you know, when you do a podcast, I want to talk about you, right? Do you think players want to talk about that more than the actual... a lot of stuff that we're talking about?
I think it's probably an even split.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, guys don't like talking about themselves.
No, but there's also only so much you can talk about in baseball, you know?
I guess.
And people, and like, you get, you can see what's going on the field. I mean, you know, you're going to talk about a player's perspective of what's going on the field, but fans can't, they can't see what goes on outside of the field, really, you know?
Yes.
Like, you don't connect on that level as much.
But some guys don't want to talk about that.
As much, well, you know, that's their prerogative, right?
Who is the person outside baseball that you would love to interview the most?
Person outside of baseball that I would love to interview the most?
That would be the coolest to meet / interview. That you would like to sit down and have a conversation with. Because I'm going to make that happen, and then we'll do it on this podcast.
There's probably three people. I've always said I want to...
Jesus Christ, Abe Lincoln, and...
Well, no, they're all living, because we're going to try and...
Okay.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson.
Okay.
And Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart?
The comedian. Yep.
Why?
It's hysterical.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna effort that. If I do that, you'll.
Good luck getting Kevin Hart now with the way you responded.
Listen, that's the best way to get people to come on.
Maybe.
You rip them and then they say, "Hey, to come on and defend yourself." All right, Shaq, Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart.
AKA The Rock.
Yes, I know that.
Well, just in case.
Okay. All right. All right, we'll make that happen. This is good because we've set goals for ourselves. If we're going to do anything today, it's good that we set goals for us. I had a terrible goal. That's a terrible goal. Let me get back to you on that goal.
Okay.
I mean, I wanted to say the usual, which is be a better person.
Yeah, no.
Be better at my job. Be a better husband. Be a better wife.
You have to set,
be a better father.
Right, how do you measure that? Set a tangible. You either do it or you don't.
Here's my goal.
Right?
Well, I'm going to run the marathon.
Yep.
Okay. So that's a goal.
The Boston Marathon?
Boston Marathon.
Nice.
And then, you know, I also, my other goal is to raise enough money so I can send my last child to college.
Awesome.
That's a goal.
Okay.
If you want to contribute to either one of those, go ahead. All right. Thank you for taking all this time.
Yes, absolutely, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.